Let's see if this scenario sounds familiar. You find yourself working from home and using a bunch of SaaS applications in the cloud. Now, one of these applications, let's call it Keep Your Fingers Crossed Accounting, doesn't work with my work account. So I have to sign up with a new password and it never remembers who I am. So I have to keep signing into the application over and over again. Now, let me tell you about a second application. Let's call this one Contosa Accounting Pro 2020. This app lets me sign in with my work account. It always remembers who I am, and it lets me invite my external business partners, such as distributors, suppliers, and set permissions on what they can access. Oh, and my IT department told me this app is super easy to manage. They get auditing, the ability to revoke permissions to data, and they can set conditional access policies like multi-factor authentication whenever I'm not on the corporate network. By using the Microsoft Identity Platform, we're going to help you build the second application, and it's easier than you think. This is the same developer experience and libraries used by Visual Studio, Teams, and other Microsoft applications. Welcome to this live Build 2020 session. My name is Saeed Akhtar, and I work on the Identity Division at Microsoft. I'm a lead program manager, and my team drives requirements for authentication libraries at Microsoft. The format today is to cover about 15 minutes of content and then save plenty of time to answer your questions. We'll start with the basics of the Microsoft Identity Platform and everything you get for free inside the box. Then we'll talk about what's new. We have some additional platforms and scenarios to talk about for the Microsoft Authentication Libraries and some exciting news regarding the ability to sign in external identities or users outside your organization. Let's start with the benefits of using the Microsoft Identity Platform in your applications. By using the Microsoft Identity Platform, you're giving all the heavy lifting to Microsoft, such as permissions and consent, compliance, privacy, regulations, breach detection, auditing, reliability, performance, and so much more. This is great news because it allows you to focus on your core product and shipping your application. You can save time and money by developing your app. But it's not just about saving time and money. Your app is going to be more successful because of four reasons. First, we're going to reduce sign-in friction. The Microsoft Identity Platform enables users to sign in with their preferred identity and using a familiar user experience. Second, security is enforced by Microsoft. And you'll always get the latest in identity innovation, such as passwordless, without having to build it yourself. Third, your app will be easy to manage by IT and comply with IT policies. And last, your application will get access to rich data. It's easy to ask the user for permission to data and then call Microsoft Graph or your own API. To summarize, by using the Microsoft Identity Platform, you'll save time, reach lots of users, and your application will be future-proof, getting all the latest innovation in identity. Now let's see what you get as a developer. Last year at Build, we announced the unification of our identity platform for developers, which means one platform to sign in any identity. As a developer, you now have one portal to register all of your applications, one set of libraries and SDKs with the Microsoft Authentication Libraries that give you the best experience for single sign-on and compatibility with policies set by IT. They depend on an endpoint, which is standards compliant and also allows compatibility with third-party libraries. You can securely access web APIs such as Microsoft Graph or Azure Resources, or you can protect your own web APIs. This gives you the ability to authenticate any identity, from Azure AD accounts to Microsoft personal accounts to external identities. External identities includes users from other organizations, social accounts like Facebook and Google, or even sign up with just an email. And our platform is built on open industry standards. The Microsoft Identity Platform makes it easy to integrate identity into your application. Now let's cover the Microsoft Authentication Libraries. Although you're able to use any standards-based libraries to connect to our platform, these libraries provide great single sign-on experiences and make it easy to comply with IT policies such as conditional access. At Build of last year, we announced the general availability of MCell.NET and MCell for JavaScript. And Ignite, we announced the general availability of MCell for Android, iOS, and macOS. And Python and Java became generally available at the beginning of this year. And we've heard your feedback on which platforms and scenarios you wanted to see next. Today, we are excited to announce the general availability of MCell for Angular. This allows you to build single-page applications or JavaScript-based clients in the latest version of the Angular framework. We're also announcing a preview of MCell JavaScript 2.0, which provides compatibility with privacy controls in Safari, allowing those users to get single sign-on. It uses a new standards-based protocol called Auth Code Flow for SPA and supports PXI security. We also have a preview for applications targeting first-line workers, such as hospital workers using shared devices. It allows these first-line workers to pick up a shared device, sign in globally to all applications, and when they're done with their shift, they can sign out of all the applications with just one tap, so the device is ready for the next first-line worker. And the newest member of our Microsoft Authentication Libraries, a preview of Microsoft Identity Web, which makes it easier to build .NET Core web applications and web APIs. Let's dive a little deeper into that one. So what is Microsoft Identity Web? Today, if you wanted to build a web app or web API calling downstream web APIs, there's some code involved to handle incremental consent or conditional access. It requires some expertise in validating access tokens with ASP.NET Core, exchanging some artifacts, and calling the downstream API using MCell.NET. What Microsoft Identity Web does is it provides the glue between ASP.NET Core and MCell.NET. It dramatically simplifies the developer experience. This code actually shipped as part of our samples, and we heard your feedback that you'd like to see this packaged as a NuGet and supported by Microsoft. So if you're building a web app or web API in ASP.NET Core, be sure to check out this preview and give us feedback. Let's jump into a quick demo. Now here I've got an ASP.NET Core web API. It allows for anonymous access. In my weather forecast controller, I've got a GET API that returns a JSON blob for the weather forecast. It uses my top secret algorithm, probably about as good as your local weather forecaster. Now, let's take a look at the client. This is a desktop console application. Pretty simple. I'm just using an HTTP client to request data from my anonymous web API, and it's going to spit out the data on the console. Let's run it. Okay, great. We've got our JSON data. It's being displayed on the console application and the client is requesting anonymous data from the web API. Now, how do I secure and protect this web API? Well, let's first start with the reasons of why you would want to protect this web API. Imagine that you need to know who the user is in order to do billing, or maybe you want to personalize that data by calling a downstream API like Microsoft Graph, such that you could combine, say, their office location with your algorithm in order to provide personalized data back to the client. The way this is done using open standards is to validate that the client is sending an authorized header with an access token. The access token is retrieved from the Microsoft Identity Platform. And let's take a look at how this is done. Let's start with app registration. So here I've gone into the Azure portal and I've registered my web API. And I've gotten an application ID and some other settings here. I'm going to jump into the section that says expose an API. And here I'm going to define some new scopes such as weather.write and weather.read. Perfect, we're all set up. Let's jump back into the code and start making some changes. The first thing I'm gonna need to do is take all of those settings that I got from the Azure portal from my web API app registration, copy and paste them into my app settings. Now, I just give this any name. I'm calling this my app registration settings. And I've got my client ID and tenant ID. So this is ready to go. Now, I'm going to jump into startup. We're going to insert some middleware for authentication and authorization. And we're going to insert some middleware. This is a function from Microsoft Identity Web. And it allows me to add a protected web API, and it takes in the app registration settings that I added to appsettings.json. Next, we're going to go over to the weather controller, weather forecast controller, and now I need to first decorate this web API to say that it requires authorization. Next, I need to define the scope. This is the weather.read scope that I defined in the Azure portal. And now here's the fun part. In the incoming request, we need to validate that the client is sending an access token and it has the necessary scopes that are required to call this API. In this case, we're going to require our weather.read scope. Great, let's save this off. Now, let's go ahead and run and see what we've got. Now remember, we have not updated our client yet. So our client is still gonna try and make an anonymous call to the web API, and the web API is going to validate that an access token is in the header, which it is not. And so we should get back an error code on the web API saying HTTP 401 unauthorized. Great, we've protected this web API. But now I need to update my client in order to securely call this web API. How do I go about doing that? Now, let's jump over to our client. Here's our HTTP client where we're anonymously calling the web API. What I need to do is insert an authorization header. So first, we're going to use mcell.net on the client console application to authenticate the user. Then we're going to print out data about the user we just authenticated, like the username. And then it's going to add a access token in the authorization header so that we can call our API. Let's try it. So here we go. Calling this protected web API. I'm already signed into this device. So it should tell me, hello, you're signed in. Call the web API. Awesome. It returns the data. We are now have a secure web API that we are calling from a client that gets an access token from the Microsoft Identity Platform in order to call my secure API. That was super simple. Now, you could take this even further. I mentioned that Microsoft Identity Web is great for scenarios for calling downstream web APIs. I mentioned earlier that maybe you wanted to personalize the data by calling Microsoft Graph and pulling data such as your office location. Under the hood, Microsoft Identity Web takes care of all of the complexity of doing the on behalf of flow, taking an access token from the client and exchanging it for a new access token for Microsoft Graph. Now, the reason I couldn't just take the client's access token and call Microsoft Graph with it is that its audience is set to my web API. And I wouldn't want replay attacks if I were to try and take an access token for the wrong audience and send it to Microsoft Graph. So I need an access token from the Microsoft Identity Platform for audience Microsoft Graph. So the way that I would go about doing this is I'd first go into, I've got a new file here that's set not to compile, just so that I can show you the changes that would be necessary. And where I had the Microsoft Identity Web set up just as before with my app registration settings for protecting my web API, I add another function saying my API is going to call downstream web APIs, which are also protected. It can take the same app registration settings, but there's one additional setting that we'd have to add, which is a certificate or application password. We recommend using certificates because of the operational security, but if you're just doing a test application, an app secret would work. And we have to tell Microsoft Identity Web where to keep the access tokens in a cache. Now, imagine that I had a distributed web API which had multiple instances, and I wanted to cache for optimization purposes all of my access tokens such that more than one instance of my web API could access it. Maybe I'd store this in SQL or Azure Storage. But in this case, I only have one instance of my web API, so I'm going to use in-memory token cache. And next, I would make some changes to my weather forecast controller. First, in my constructor, I would add iToken acquisition. And then, when I'm ready to call my downstream web API, I would pass the scope that I need to call my web API. So this is a user.read Microsoft Graph scope. Microsoft Identity Web makes it easier to do the on behalf of flow, get the access token necessary to call this downstream web API, and now I'm ready to call my downstream web API. Makes it way simpler and dramatically improves the developer experience for this scenario. So in summary, Microsoft Identity Web makes it easy to build web apps or web APIs that call downstream web APIs like Microsoft Graph. Today, we are announcing the public preview of a new feature in Azure Active Directory called External Identities. Your organization likely collaborates with lots of external users, especially in these times we're all adapting to remote work. This feature allows you to build applications that sign in customers, citizens, distributors, suppliers, and other business partners. And your IT administrator will be able to manage all of these dynamic relationships while protecting access to apps and data. Here's a demo app we call Woodgrove Groceries. You might be familiar with Azure AD B2C. Here, we're using Azure AD with the external identities preview to give users access to apps and data within your organization. With this preview, you can now build self-service signup flows for users from another organization or users with a social identity like Facebook or Google. As a developer, you just integrate with the Microsoft Identity Platform using any of our existing quick starts or samples. Then, the self-service signup flow and the social identity provider can be configured in Azure AD. Your app will work seamlessly with these new types of users without any complex code changes required. If you'd like to see a demo of how to build an application and configure external identities for your application, we have some great pre-recorded content for you. The external identity scenario I just described is covered in the session I have in bold. Be sure to check out this and other on-demand sessions. If you don't have time to note down all these links, you can download this presentation after the call. So how do you get started? Well, we have a number of resources available to you. You can also find us on GitHub, Stack Overflow, User Voice, Twitter, and more. A big thank you for attending our session. And now let's open it up for questions.
Thanks, Saeed. I've been monitoring the chat and looks like there's a lot of excitement around Microsoft Identity at Web, as well as a lot of the authentication libraries that we're releasing. So one question that I'm seeing pop up is, are there plans for additional platforms and languages supporting MSOL, in particular Vue or Node?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So we are actually have started on Node, and we're actually focused on the client scenario first. So one of the things that we're doing is we're actually building MSOL Node.js so that VS Code can take advantage of this library. And another thing I'd like to quickly show you is that you can find all the applications and platforms that we support in the Azure portal. So if I were to just jump into the Azure portal and go over to Azure Active Directory, and I go into my app registrations pane. If I were to just create a new application and just give it a name, register it, and I jump into the quick start experience, here you can see all the different platforms that we support. And if I jump into one of these, you can see all these different samples that we have. Some of these are tutorials that walk you through step by step, and others are integrated right into the portal. For the integrated ones that are in our Azure portal, integrated as a first class experience, you can actually just click with one button, have them make the changes for me, and download a working sample. That was that quick to get something up and running on the platform.
Awesome. Now, on these authentication libraries, are they integrated with mobile device biometric authentication like Face ID, Touch ID? You touched upon passwordless a little bit. Curious if the authentication libraries support those.
Yeah, so on mobile, one of the advantages of the Microsoft authentication libraries is that they're integrated with the system browser. So this allows us to take advantage of some new standards that are emerging for FIDO and passwordless and other biometrics. And so it allows us to basically take advantage of all the latest innovation and provide it to you without needing to dramatically change your application. So I think just by keeping up to date with the latest version of the Microsoft authentication libraries, you're going to be able to take advantage of all this innovation.
Awesome. Now, does the identity libraries also support ADFS?
Yes, the MSOL.NET library actually supports the latest version of ADFS. And the reason why the latest version is required is the latest version of ADFS actually did some protocol standards compliance work to make their latest version completely standards compliant. And so because MSOL has a dependency on all these open standard protocol libraries, you'll have to get the latest version of MSOL.NET as well as ADFS in order to get that scenario up and running. But you should be able to find some samples, and maybe some folks on the chat can connect you with links to those samples.
Awesome. Switching gears a little bit, talking about external identities and B2C, can you tell me what are some of the common scenarios or when it is best to use something like Azure Active Directory B2C?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Azure AD B2C has been a product offering that we've had in market for a while. And it's really great at signing in users with any social identity, self-service sign-up flows, show up with just an email and create a password. It can be completely branded as your own experience. So if you have, like, say, a shopping or a retail type of scenario, this product is awesome for signing in your customers. Now, one of the limitations is if you want to give external users access to data that is part of your organization, say you had business partners, distributors, suppliers, and you need to give them data that either applications, like say the Office applications, or you need to give them, you know, SharePoint data or your own web APIs, which are protected using your tenant, your organization's tenant, then external identities is the right path in this scenario. And if you take advantage of this preview, you would be able to sign in these external users and then have some sort of flow that, you know, after they've done a self-service signup, that there's some sort of validation. Yeah, they are who they say they are. Yeah, this is a supplier which I want to let into my organization. And after that step, you know, that's done programmatically through an API, then they would be able to start being assigned access to data within your organization or applications within your organization. I definitely, we've got some really great recorded content on this scenario and step-by-step instructions of how to configure this in Azure AD and get your application up and running with this scenario. So definitely check out that recorded content.
Awesome. So a quick follow-up on the B2C scenario. Can you do custom roles within B2C? For example, can you give certain users elevated permissions if they're using third-party providers like Facebook or Google?
Well, when you're signing in the user in Azure AD B2C, there is a way to request access tokens to call the Facebook graph or call, you know, Google APIs for the user that's signing in with a Facebook ID or a Google ID. And the consent screens in those scenarios are rendered by, you know, Google or rendered by Facebook. And so you can request, you know, access to data, get access tokens and call, you know, APIs in their system. And then you can also, with Azure AD B2C, protect your own web APIs. So when I'm protecting my own web API and I'm configuring, you know, the application ID and the tenant ID, just like we did in this demo just a few minutes ago, I would have to enter a tenant ID and application ID for an application that's registered in my Azure AD B2C tenant. And that would give, that would be allowing access for users within Azure AD B2C to call web APIs protected by Azure AD B2C. But what I was alluding to with external identities is that you may have applications or data, let's say in SharePoint or something, where you want to give users external to your organization access to those resources, or you want to build applications that do self-service sign-up flows for your suppliers or distributors. And that's where this external identity preview comes in.
Awesome. Looks like we just have a minute left. Any last words in terms of how to get started?
Yeah, be sure to you know, check out some of our pre-recorded content. We've got lots of stuff there. Be sure to check out the Azure portal and the quick start experience. You should find, you know, lots of tutorials and quick starts, maybe some new stuff that you haven't seen before because we've been iterating on the Azure portal. And thank you everyone for joining. This has been awesome.
Thank you.